Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. We are back with another listener submission episode. It has been a minute.
Yeah, it has. That's okay, though.
We've been busy. I mean, the holidays are around. It's not like we didn't have any. We still have a few on deck. And we got a couple more submissions recently. So, one, thank you so much for submitting your stories.
Absolutely.
We love reading them. We love making episodes. We'll shout that stuff at the end. That doesn't have to be here now. But I think the last one we did, which was a listener submission, but we posted on a Tuesday, was the multiverse.
Yes, that's right. That was Isaac from Hidden in the Shadows.
Right. And our friend Nick. Okay. So are you ready to dive into another listener submission episode?
Absolutely.
This story coming from Martha involves the Scribner Hill Devil. So all of this takes place in the same week, in October, in 2011.
Okay.
So it's been about a decade. It wasn't explicitly said if it was on Halloween or near Halloween. It was in the month of October. So a little background before we get into the story on Martha's paranormal experience and history, because she is not a stranger to paranormal occurrences. Apparently she's experienced paranormal activity for the majority of her life. Her mother told her that when she was really young, Martha used to tell her mom that her grandfather, who died well before Martha was born, would be dancing on the top of the hood of the car as they were driving just to make Martha smile.
Oh, I thought you meant like your real life one. I was like, that's drugs.
Oh, God, no. No, 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 no. And in addition to that, Martha witnessed her name being called out and whispered. She's seen shadow people, orbs, and she's even been touched. So in terms of sensitivity, I would put her in like the emo category. Like, you know, Hawthorne Heights, senses fail. And I mean that with great respect.
I'm the same.
You're more sensitive than I am, for sure.
Okay.
Like, yeah. I love ghost hunting with you because you pick up on things. I'm like, I'm just like a brick wall, man. I'm just here for the ride.
Because I grab you and go, bro.
I know. It is so funny. If there's anything that could possibly be creepy, Charlie just sticks his arm out. He's like, I'm just like, dude, it was a car. You could hear a car bouncing off. But this isn't about us. That's setting the stage. Are you ready to dive into the Scribner Devil?
Let's go. Wait, where's Scribner?
This is Maine. We're in Stephen King land.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, up there.
This is a clown.
It's not a clown.
Okay, all right.
So, in October of 2011, Martha's friend Nick suggested that him, and their friend Shane go to a local cemetery and do some paranormal investigating. Again, this takes place in Maine, Stephen King's neck of the woods. And I just want to say this. I feel like 3 is the perfect number for investigating. How do you feel about that statement?
So did Nick say, let's bring Shane too? Or is he just like, you and me go investigate some ghosts? And she's like, yeah, Shane can come too.
No, I think they're all friends. Okay, I don't think there's a third wheel. All
right.
And Nick's the driver, so it's not like they only got Shane because he had wheels.
Okay. Well, I mean, yeah. So yeah, I like investigating with 3. That's a great number.
It's like, okay, it's more than 2 for security purposes. Splitting up, it's not like if it's just you and one other person, if you get split up, I mean, that's terrifying. There's always that third person, a third set of eyes, you know, and reasoning. If somebody's like, let's go here, and the other person's like, no, let's go here. You know, there's always going to be that middle person to make the decision. So far, I give them a thumbs up on the investigating efforts. Sure. So her buddy Nick really wanted to explore this place called Scribner Hill because apparently it has a devil's footprint there.
Okay.
So a little background on the devil's footprint. So stories say that when the road was being built there, the construction workers came across this rock that was so big and so heavy that they could not move it. So apparently one worker is said to have called out in frustration, similar to Jersey Devil. He said, I'd give my soul to the devil to move this rock. And the next time they came to the site, the rock was gone.
Oh, no.
And the worker who cried it out was never seen again, so he never got his bonus.
Never got that paycheck?
No, now the rock is set in the wall of the graveyard, and folks say that there's like a reddish footprint shape, and it belongs to the devil himself.
Because the devil, like, reduking the boulder out of the way?
He just kicked it. He's like, oh, okay. Little kick to get out there. So the rock is true. you can see, I mean, people like it's, I guess it's been faded over the years from people like putting their foot up to measure it. I mean, there's probably some basketball players that like their feet are like way bigger than the Devil's. But okay, let me deconstruct here a little bit. I don't want to undermine people's struggles. People go through different things. We all have our demons, pun intended, but that feels like a very first world issue to sell your soul to the devil. It's like, my coffee's a little too bitter. I'd give my soul to get some half and half up in here. It's like a minor inconvenience. Like, you know, my car blows cool air when I turn the heat on for a little bit. Wish that would change. You know what I mean? It's like, I get that they needed to build a road, but could you, like, that was a major sacrifice from one person.
Like, his boss is like, good job.
There is a person in hell because a boulder was in the way of a road construction, if you believe this to be true.
Yeah. Oh, man. I bet he's just like, that was not worth that.
I think somebody said sold their soul for the Cleveland Browns this year, but I'm A-okay with that. Anyway, let's get back to the story. So Martha's actually not, because, I mean, you know her paranormal experiences. I already said them at the beginning of the episode. She's not somebody who really wants to get involved with anything demonic or devilish. No. She doesn't want to be a stick in the mud, so she decides to go along with them and go explore the Scribner Hill. You know, best case scenario, maybe the devil can help him fill out some taxes or pick up a coffee or something like that. Some menial labor.
Something to sell their soul for.
So Martha, Nick, and Shane begin investigating the cemetery to see what they could find. And just as you expect, this is when things get creepy. And right off the bat, I don't know how many of you out there have ever gone ghost hunting. First of all, if you get anything, you're lucky.
Yes.
Anything, you're lucky. Second, for it to happen immediately, it just feels like you're in a high energy situation. So right off the bat, they're hearing animal sounds, they're hearing footsteps, and they're hearing whispers.
Like naked ear whispers?
There was no clarification. It's going to be all speculation on our part. I did reach out to her and she was very quick getting back. So thank you, Martha, for the quick clarifications. I won't point them out in the story, but they're there. Whispers, that's a big thing. Because footprints, you can say, are bouncing off of gravestones, mm-hmm. and animal sounds. I mean, animals be animal. But whispers, that's where I would draw the line.
That's really creepy.
So not long after their investigation began, Nick started to become overwhelmed with a feeling that they just needed to leave. They were not welcome, and whatever energy and spirits were there were absolutely not friendly. As the story goes on, you'll find out Nick is probably the most sensitive in a self-awareness way.
Okay.
But we've, if through our own experiences, kind of know what it feels like to not be, feel like you're welcome somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, you always accuse me of doing it way too early. That's okay.
Well, I think you just get bored and want to leave. So as Nick's explaining that it's best they leave immediately, Martha noticed that Shane was just kind of staring off with a blank, faraway expression. And during their walk back to Nick's car, they all experienced an unnaturally cold shiver, which caused Shane specifically to do a sharp inhale of breath. So as they're heading back to town in Nick's car, Shane starts laughing in an uncharacteristic and sinister way from the back seat. And then he starts speaking in an unnatural voice that is clearly different from his own. And he threatens them, saying that they are all going to end up back at the graveyard. So Nick does an amazing job of calming things down here. Nick tells Martha to ignore Shane, ignore the laughing, ignore the sinister remarks, to not acknowledge him and not let it impact her. He actually says, instead, you need to think of a thick barrier that's surrounding her and emphatically rejects all evil.
I would just play the music a little louder. Probably.
Laura? Was that the name of the song?
Oh, from Bob Marley?
Yeah.
Yes.
We're recording this same day. Through this mental activity, along with Nick persuading the entity to leave, Shane eventually becomes dead quiet. And that's how it remains for a long while before Shane slowly leans forward in the car, peering between Nick and Martha, and asks them, "When did we get in the car? Where are we?" So Nick and Martha try to explain what happened, and he apologizes, and he says this wasn't the first time he was taken over by something like that. So they get home, they make sure he's okay, but then as they part ways, and as the recording of this podcast, they've never heard or experienced that specific voice coming from Shane again.
That's the end.
That's the end of that part.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I mean, we're going to get to the discussion, but I just can't imagine, like, I want to hear from Shane, like, sorry, guys, that, man, that happened again. Like, oh, not that again. It's like, and obviously I'm hearing it from a third party, you know, written. There's no tone. It's not from Shane. I don't know the backstory. It feels like it's, you know, like, oh, I got another flat tire. I was possessed again. And maybe that wasn't like what it was. And I don't know. We'll move on because this isn't the discussion. But that part, I mean, a lot of that struck me. But that part was like, whoa, like, yeah. What is your day to day? So a few days later, remember, this is all the same week.
Okay.
Martha was closing at her job, which was a local sub shop in Gardiner, Maine, which, for reference, is about 20 to 30 minutes away from Scribner Hill. I heard it's a Midwest thing. We speculate time based on minutes, where some people say like miles. Like, oh, it's about 7 miles away. But we say it's like 20 minutes.
Yeah, how long it takes to get there. How much of your life is wasted getting there?
Too much. And sleeping, that's why I don't do it. So Martha was the closing manager at her shop, so she was the only one there closing the building at night, and I would assume probably overworked and underpaid. So she finally completed all of her tasks, and she went around turning the lights off. Before leaving, she went to grab a few things out of the back office. Structurally, just to kind of break it down the way she broke it down for me, to get to the back office, you have to walk down a long hallway that connects the main shop to the office and like the dry goods storage, the walk-ins, you know, all that stuff. Like, it's basically a long hallway connecting the front of the shop from the back.
Got ya.
So she switched off the back lights, was making her way towards the front of the store when she realized that she forgot her work shirt in the back office. So as she was turning around to head back to the back office to go down the long hallway, her main fixation was on her phone because she was going to pull her phone out, call her boyfriend, because at the time, that was the only car. So it was, you know, she needed him to get a ride. So as she's grabbing her phone to call her boyfriend, she hears a deep growl. And she looks up and down the long and dark hallway. And about 3 feet past the doorway, she sees a massive black shadow with glowing red eyes staring directly at her. For a moment, she was just stunned. She couldn't think of anything to say. She couldn't move. She was just in complete shock. But despite the terror, she felt herself drawn to the shadow, like she couldn't force herself to look away. Finally, she starts backing up slowly, and she starts whispering, okay, I get it. I've been here too long. It's time for me to get out. I'm going. I'll grab it tomorrow. And I think at this point, because you might be thinking, why are you talking to her? Why are you whispering? I think logic goes out the window at this point, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is when you're running off pure instinct and intuition. So Martha practically ran backwards out of the back of the store and just flew out the front. She tried calling her boyfriend, but he wouldn't pick up his phone because it was really late. Thankfully, she lived close enough in town that she could just walk. But that's not where the story ends. So to get home, she had to pass through Gardiner Commons, which happens to have a very old graveyard across the street.
Of course it is.
Of course, right? Stephen King town. So Martha was honest that these sensations that she was feeling could have been triggered from what she just experienced. You know, maybe the stress, maybe the anxiety. But as she's walking past this commons and walking past this graveyard, she started hearing footsteps, and she started hearing giggling and whispers and the sensation of a dog panting. And she was very clear. There was no one in the park. There was no one walking their dogs. There wasn't even a car around. Like, she was completely alone. And once she reached the very end of the park, all of the noises stopped and turned into an eerie silence. No footsteps, no giggling, no panting.
Just, oh my God.
Absolute silence, although she did claim that it felt like something was still watching her. And wow. That's Martha's experience.
Wow. Man. Has she gone back to the sub shop?
I think she said at the time, like it was boyfriend at the time, sub shop at the time. So, I mean, this is 9 years ago.
Yeah.
So, I think there's some things in this story that probably aren't in her life anymore, for better or for worse.
What? Oh, they just have a haunted sub shop?
I think the idea is that whatever happened at the cemetery followed her. I don't think the sub shop itself is haunted.
Oh god.
And again, she was very clear that she doesn't know that Shane got possessed. She doesn't know what she saw, you know, it could have been stress, lack of sleep. So I do appreciate as somebody that tries to be critical that she was, you know, forward about these things, because I think that's a natural thing. I think when you experience something, especially if you're alone, now obviously with Nick and Shane, she had Nick to rely on. I'm sure Nick, based on the way he seemed to be on top of the situation, he believes it. But I think when you experience something creepy, it's natural to start doubting yourself. So, I mean, we'll get into whether or not I believe this, but I do appreciate that, you know, she was like, maybe it was this, maybe it was that.
Yeah, I do too.
Very striking situations. I also want to shout this out. She did give us a third story, and maybe this is a fault on my own. It didn't feel related to these two parts, and she's looking, it felt a little unrelated. It could still be an episode in the future. I hope it is. She's doing some research a little bit more about it, but I would love to tell that story and do like a part two to Martha's paranormal experiences. But for the time being, that was the Scribner Devil. All right. So you were very quiet and visibly affected. Cause like I said, you're more sensitive than me. Your imagination wanders, and I love that. I love you for that. So what were your reactions and what were your thoughts?
Oh man, I got such clear images. Well, okay. So my first thought with Shane.
Yes.
Is I was terrified at first, and I thought, I don't know his mental health history. And that's a thought. I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm just saying maybe that had something to do with it too.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know. That's something we don't know. Also, like, I mean, is he the type of guy that would mess around?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
It must have been so. You can only throw your voice so much.
Yeah.
I mean, you got people like, not Jim Gaffigan. What's the other guy?
Definitely not Jim
Gaffigan. Jeff Dunham.
Oh, Jeff Dunham. Yeah.
I mean, you have ventriloquists. I mean, you have voice actors. There's people that can throw their voice. I mean, Seth MacFarlane. He's awesome. Yeah. But I feel like there's really only so much you can do with your voice.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I feel like they'd be able to tell if he was pulling their leg.
Yeah, that's true. I agree.
It would be interesting to hear how unnatural and how different his voice became.
Yeah. I'm just throwing it out there. Like,
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's if you start looking at it scientifically and you start looking at different, you know, layers of mental health, it's something to bring up. And I get that. It's tough because there's nothing we can do about it. You know?
I feel like it's my only defense at this point because that's so fucking scary.
And him saying like it's happened before.
Yeah.
And Nick was so good in that situation.
I think I swooned.
You know how vulnerable I would feel if I believed somebody in my back seat was possessed. Like, you're driving, your hands are busy, you're moving fat, you're in a 2,000 pound metal object going who knows how fast in Maine. They don't care out there. You know, and you got somebody behind you that could be demonic. I'd pull over, I think.
Yeah, like, you got to go.
Yeah, yeah. I think this is your stop. Like, bye. That, I mean, that's terrifying. You know, it's different because the second situation, she's alone, and that makes it scarier.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, would you rather go to a cemetery alone or go to a cemetery with a friend? Naturally, you want to go with a friend, and that's Nick. Nick makes the first story. Like, it's like you have the character that has the knowledge. This is how we deal with it. Think about this. We will overcome this. And you're like, okay, I feel better.
Yeah.
But when she's alone and she sees that shadow figure with the red eyes.
That is so scary.
And it's like a place of work. Like, how caught off guard.
And you have to go back there to make your money.
Yeah, it's like, nope, no sub job is worth that.
No.
No way.
No Penn Station.
I'm no longer a sandwich artist.
No, that is so scary. And like, did you ever see it there again? Did it come back? Does it stay there? Does it have a loft in that attic? You know, like, you don't know.
I don't think it's the shop. I think, especially since it was a few days later, I think whatever they did in that cemetery followed her.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's the shop.
That's probably fair. That's probably, I forgot it was a couple days later.
Yeah, this is all the same week.
That's creepy. That's really creepy.
And then just when she's walking past the park, and she, like, as soon as she's past that point, like, I wonder if it's like that indiscernible whispering where she's, yeah, I'm done. You know, like that type of like low pitch. I wonder if she could pick out what they were saying or not. But I mean, no matter, and the giggling, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a bunch of, there's no background story. It's just, this is a face, that's the fun thing about listener submissions. It's a face value story. But, I feel like the listener submissions are always the creepiest. I love them so much.
The giggling and the dogs panting, those are things I associate with a good time and fun times.
Yeah. It kind of like, it flips the narrative on you. It's interesting like that. But yeah, so, I mean, that's part of the listener submission thing. They're a little bit shorter. There's obviously not as much research. I did a little bit on the devil's footprint. First of all, thank you, Martha, for sending us your stories. I hope we do a part two with the third part that we talked about. So thank you for submitting. So Charlie, where are you at?
Oh, I 100% I believe she saw that stuff.
Oh yeah, me too.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
Like the possession thing, I don't know. But the way that all we can go off is how we were told the story. And the way it was told, it feels believable to me. I lean this way anyways. Like this is kind of where I'm comfortable, so to speak, in terms of the paranormal.
My only defense is science. And that's so I feel better.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And that doesn't
come. I just don't know.
And maybe lack of sleep, feeling anxious and stressed, see a black shadow with red eyes in your subway shop. It's kind of like, it's possible. I mean, I feel like there's no limit to what our brains can put in this world and make us feel like we saw or believed. But for the sake of this podcast, I'm giving it a believable.
I believe it too.
So thank you, everybody. We hope you enjoyed the bonus content, the listener submission. Again, reminder, if you want your paranormal story told like this on Believing the Bizarre, either hit us up at believingthebizarre@gmail.com and tell us your story, or head to our website, believingthebizarre.com. Go to submit your experience and fill it out there, and we'll get it, and we'll thank you, and we'll read it, we'll judge it, and then we'll tell it, and it'll be a great time.
Yeah, God, I'm still trying to get over this last story. That's creepy.
They're always the creepiest. I like hearing them, because it's completely different. Like, a normal Believing the Bizarre episode versus a listener submission, it might sound similar when you hear them, but for us, like, the behind-the-scenes work that we do and the way we present it, totally different, and it's refreshing, and it always creeps me out, because like Jersey Devil, Fresno Nightcrawler, there's always a level of urban legend to it. You know, like how much has this been fancied and dressed up over time?
Like the OU and the Jefferson Hall thing.
Yeah, there's just a point where it just feels like things get dressed up and layered over time. This is one source in a personal experience. You know, it just hits differently for me, at least. I'm probably always going to lean more believable for listeners. It's not just because I'm afraid of offending you, because we've done one before where I think I landed a skeptical, if I remember correctly. It's not just about offending you, because when you submit your story, I mean, it's like a short story. When you put it out there in the world, not everybody's going to like it, and people are going to criticize it. But I do find myself leaning more towards believable with listener submissions, but I just love doing them. I love hearing them. I love reading. Charlie and I love horror content. So when we get it, we love it.
Yeah. It's just so much fun to do.
Yes.
If you have not yet, but you think you should give us a review on Apple, we would really appreciate that, because we read them and the 5 stars and the reviews. It helps us go up the charts so more people can send us stories or listen to our content, and we would really enjoy that.
Yes. So if you're on the ledge deciding whether or not to leave a review, let Charlie just lightly tap you on the back.
Or remind you gently.
Whisper in your ear, leave a review.
Yes, please do that.
We greatly appreciate it. And above all, we thank you so much for listening. So thank you. And as always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
A podcast as bizarre as you are.